You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I want to make sure that you know that Saturday on ESPN Plus, we will have what could be a classic FA Cup final. Chelsea facing Liverpool at Wembley Stadium. Coverage will begin at 11:25 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus, with kickoff at 11:45. I'm so enthusiastic about the presence of Amari Stoudemire. I'm getting choked up just considering as another hour here. Great fun we're having. Unbelievable basketball to talk about live here above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Vince Carter, Seth Greenberg, the football crew's coming up in this hour as well. Let's start with the game of the night in Boston last night. The Celtics, who had a lead of as many as 14 points in the fourth quarter of this game behind Jason Tatum. And Amari Tatum had it going all night long. Look at the moves.
Absolutely. Great move here. Take him up dribble attack with aggressiveness to the basket, set the tone. I love this move.
34 points and 6 rebounds for him. But on the other end of the floor, Giannis just showing you why he is the best player in the NBA.
No doubt about it, man. I mean, left hand to the basket off the pick and roll, being able to seal this guy in the paint for the offensive rebound, put back. All those small intangibles go a long way in a big game like this.
That gets the Bucks to within 4. Now just over 2 minutes remaining, still a 4-point game. How about Al Horford still doing it his age?
I love it. I played against him when I played. He was always that kind of player where he's aggressive and strong and being focused. And tonight you saw it again.
And on this play, hey, take a look at that. Giannis takes the inadvertent elbow from his own teammate, and he'd be bleeding down the stretch like Drago in Rocky IV. Now ensuing Bucks possession. Wesley Matthews, offensive rebound. Giannis knocks down the three. He had 40 as the blood continues to fall. Now, just under a minute later, it's Giannis, and they're turning defense, Amari, into offense.
That's the key of it all right there, turning the defense to offense, moving the ball, getting open shots. Drew Holiday with the big three.
He had 24. Now we're tied at 105. He bleeds under 20. 20 seconds remaining. Bucks down 2 after the Celtic free throws. Giannis fouled going to the line. And take another look. Here is Giannis. I mean, he's got the blood. Could you have more drama? Cut me, Mick. He's on the line. Now he would make the first free throw. So it's a 1-point game with 14 seconds left. This one, no good. But watch. Bobby Portis is there for the offensive rebound. The Celtics were knocking each other over. And Portis, right place, right time, right result. The Bucks a 1-point lead. Ensuing possession. How about this defensive play from Drew Holiday?
Well, you know what? He's right there on the rotational help. Blocks a shot, stays in bounds, and have the awareness to throw the ball off of Marcus Smart to keep the ball in their possession. Smart
play. It
really
is. Take another look at it again. The smart play against Marcus Smart. Holiday coming over, helping out. And then as he's going out of bounds, it goes off there. So now, the Bucks would make 2 free throws. Celtics drawing up a play. Down 3, length of the court to go, and Holiday does it again.
He does it again. I think the ball right now should be in Tatum's hand for sure. Mm-hmm. He's wide open. We got to get the ball to him. But apparently at this point, it didn't happen. Drew Holiday's smart play with the steal.
He makes the 2 huge defensive plays at the end. He had 24 to go with it. Giannis 40. Bucks a huge road win. Marcus Smart, the devastating play at the end. Tatum was wide open. The Bucks a 3-2 lead going home. Drew Holiday, how did you do it?
I mean, obviously we're in Boston. We're down 14 in the fourth quarter. Like, kind of just people would say that everything's against us, but we come together. And I feel like we've done that multiple times, and we'll live and die by that.
We don't have time to worry about how we lost. We ain't got time to worry about we lost and right now and it hurts. Got time for that. So it hurts. It definitely hurts, but we ain't got time to feel it. We gotta go on to the next one, and really it's simple. If you're not ready to come play next game, then don't step on that court.
We'll come back to his comments there in a moment, but let's just show you just how brutal this was. The Celtics a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. The Bucks went 6-for-6 from 3 in the final quarter. They had a 4-1 advantage in steals in that period. But I do want to give credit to Marcus Smart, because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about, after their loss, the Sixers, how deflated they seemed. James Harden's comments, Doc Rivers' comments. You love what Smart said, right? I mean, he had the bad moment at the end. He got blocked. He got the steal. It happens. But he sat there, and he gave you exactly the fiery speech we were looking for out of Philly. So, Vince Carter, you made the point earlier. If the Celtics are going to win this game tomorrow night on the road, it's going to be because of their leadership, and Smart is their leader.
Yeah, he's their leader, and he said it best. And we highlighted his plays and the plays he should have made and the great defensive plays against him. But he said, yeah, it happened. It hurts. But now we have business to take care of. This is a business. We have to get ready for the next game. We have to do what we need to do. We have to be locked in and focused. We can't hang our heads now. And if you're not ready to play, if you don't believe we can win, not get on that floor. Let's go further than that. Don't get on the plane to go to Milwaukee to go get us a win so we can bring this thing back to Boston. So I like what he's saying. I like the approach. They look at the film, get on the plane, and go do what they need to do because they can win. In Milwaukee, by the way.
Yeah, look, they did. They won game four, and they were right there to win game three. Let's look at the film, Seth. What are we looking at?
Well, you're looking at Marcus Smart, the decision he made. But look on the left-hand side of the floor. And at the end of the game, we're talking about, look at Al Horford right there. This play was set up for a wide pin down right there for Jason Tatum, who's so good coming off that screen. But you know what Marcus Smart does? He gets overplayed, so he cannot get the ball to the middle of the floor. He back cuts at Connaughton. Great second effort and a ridiculous play by Jrue Holiday in terms of not only the block, getting level the ball, but saving it. And then same thing here. Marcus Smart struggled down the stretch. Three tough plays. Catch face, look up. The pass has got to get to Tatum. The play was designed to either Smart to get downhill to make the pass to Tatum. Smart didn't make a good decision. They lose the game. But that last play, both of those plays, ideally they wanted to get the ball to Jason Tatum, just didn't get him the ball. Some people say maybe run him off the zipper screen, get him the ball in the middle of the floor, let him go. But the plays were designed to get the ball to their best player.
That is the one piece of this, Amari, that I hear a lot of Celtic fans bemoaning on Twitter. And we have some on our staff who were talking about it in our meeting this morning, that in the biggest moments of that game last night, the ball is not in Jason Tatum's hands. And he has now arrived as a player that it sort of feels like KD, like LeBron, like yourself when you were playing, like Vince when he was playing. You got to get him the ball and you win or lose with your best guy.
Yeah, and I think that was the idea that Ime had in mind, to get the ball to Tatum. But apparently it just didn't happen that way. And so defense sometimes make you adjust offensively, and you have to be aware of that and being able to make the right play down the stretch and still get the ball into your guys' hands.
So, Vince, I want to go back, though, because you cannot sit here and talk about how the Celtics lost this game without giving all the credit in the world to the two Bucks stars, because you got Giannis, who's doing everything for them. And, I mean, the drama of the moment where he's bleeding in this game, literally he's giving you his blood, sweat, and tears. And then Jrue Holiday, who struggled so much in game four to make, not only to score 24 points, but then make the two big defensive players. The Bucks showed you some championship stuff last night.
Well, when Middleton goes down in the first round, everybody said, can and will Jrue Holiday step up to be now number two, the guy number two? We know what he could do defensively, but can he bring it offensively? And he answered that question immediately. But because we know defensively, his defensive instincts are top notch. And I agree with you guys. He has answered the call, but you know, look at his instincts there. Just understanding the play was broken. And once Marcus Smart goes, quote, unquote, off script, he makes the decision, I'm going to go win the play defensively, and keeps the ball in bounds. That's what people not get. I mean, we're mentioning it, but you don't understand. That takes a lot to be able to block a shot in that moment. You want to send it in the stands and look at the crowd and say, yeah, can you send that ball back? No, he knocks it to himself, knocks down a big three, gets a big steal. I mean, just doing everything to be the number two guy that the Bucks needed while Chris Middleton was out.
Awesome. And then Giannis. I mean, Amari, as a guy who played in the league, played, you know, a big guy with all the physical skills that you had like he does, how would you describe what we are seeing from Giannis right now?
I mean, it's amazing. I remember when I was coached by Coach Tim Gergerich in Phoenix my rookie year, and then he went on to coach there in Milwaukee. He was saying, this guy reminds me of you, Amari. Mm. And I see what's happening here. He's a versatile player. He's very determined on trying to win the games. He wants to add more to his resume. And down the stretch in the fourth quarter, you saw the aggression. You saw him focusing. He knocked down the open three. Those plays are big plays for a player down the stretch, and that gives the confidence to the rest of your team to know, hey, our top guy's ready to go.
I'll say this, Seth. If the Celtics wind up losing this series, I don't know how they're going to sleep all summer long, because outside of game one, you could easily say they should have won all the rest of the games in this series. They had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter last night. They had the lead and the ball late in the game on Saturday, which was game three. What do they do now? Is there a move left to be made? By the time you get to a game six, is there anything differently you would be doing right now, Seth, if you were running the Celtics?
First of all, I'd remind my team that we dominated this game. We did everything we needed to do to win, but get the win, so that we should feel good about basically the journey, maybe not the destination at the end of the game. The second thing is I like that small lineup. I like when they play Giannis at five some. I like, obviously, Portis and Giannis together. You got another guy that can get you extra possessions, and Portis, who rebounds the ball, who can switch and defend and contest shots and can also stretch the defense. I like that smaller lineup. Or if you're going big, I like Portis and Giannis together. Because the one thing they need more shot makers on the floor to give Giannis more room to play. And finally, Giannis, those threes, I'm great you're making those threes. But out of those threes, Gordon Shays, the old assistant coach of Utah Jazz, used to say, all right, a bad shot is a turnover. And those threes, a lot of times, you see what he's shooting from percentage, even though he makes this one, they are like turnovers. But I think that Boston's in a good place because they're doing enough things to be in position to win every single game.
I'd like to try and put some explanation to a remarkable statistic. The fact that the Celtics have lost the clutch time games in this series should not be a surprise. I get these great stats from our NBA researchers because I work on the Countdown show now. The Celtics in the regular season were 29th in clutch time win percentage. To be clear, there are only 30 teams. They were 3-9 in games decided by 3 points or fewer. Two games in this series have been decided by 3 points or fewer, and the Bucks won both. Vince, how do you explain that? A team that has so many good players, that is so well coached, why is it, again, they've lost the two clutch time games in this series, but it happened to them all year long. Why does something like that happen?
It's just understanding, you know, how to close. And that's what it is. Right now, the Bucks understand how to close because they've been to the top of the mountain. They've been in the NBA Finals where you have to pay attention to detail and everybody's staying in the moment. And that's the tough thing about it. As you go further, there's more on the line. There's, you know, guys tend to clam up. And I'm not saying that they're clamming up. It's just, you know, at the same time, you just have to go through it to understand how to close big time games. And, you know, the Bucks didn't blink. Drew Holiday said it. Yeah, we're down 14 in Boston. Everybody thinks it's over for us. And we just come together. And they came together and they got the job done. So, you know, all year, it's just, you know, a lot for Boston. You have a new coach, new philosophy. You're trying to implement and find defensive and offensive plays that work for your team in situation. It's all situational. You have to understand who you're playing, and they understand now they need to share the ball and, you know, just understanding the moment. And you don't get that experience until you go through it.
Yeah, I'm thinking back. They won that first game against the Nets on that final play, you know, the layup that they make with Tatum. But outside of that, the final moments have been a struggle for them. Speaking of struggles, holy smoke, did you see what happened to the Warriors last night? They're in Memphis. The Grizzlies are playing for their season, but they're playing without Ja Morant. And candidly, they were playing without an opponent last night. The Warriors just didn't show up, Amari. Take a look at this. It's defense turning into offense. It was all Grizzlies.
Absolutely. The Grizz came out aggressive. They wanted to win this game for sure in front of their fans. These young guys are active, you know, and you can't take it for granted. You know, they have high energy. They're determined to be respected. Obviously, Memphis is a small city in the market, but they want to earn their respect. And I think last night we saw them really being very aggressive and getting that win.
They were up 27 points at halftime. That was Desmond Bane, who's been struggling in the series. He played better. This is Jaren Jackson Jr. knocking down threes. Morant loves it. Steph does not. Under a minute to go. It's a 51-point lead for Memphis, but wait, there's more. Zaire Williams, yes, plus the foul. He made the foul shot. It's a 55-point game. Wow. And not only is Ja dancing, but Draymond is dancing afterwards. The fans were playing whoop that trick in the stadium after Memphis whooped the Warriors in every conceivable way. Draymond, let's talk.
They're not going to whoop that trick alone. We're going to whoop that trick together if we're going to whoop that trick, you know? We got our ass kicked. That's all right. It happens. But you don't be front runner. You know, when you spew it out, you gotta be willing to take it and not hide from it, not duck from it, not run from it. Embrace it. So I appreciated the crowd tonight and the energy that they brought to the game. You know, and if they want to whoop that trick, we're going to whoop them together.
I guess in the end, what happened in the game is a lot more important than the dancing. The 39-point loss, the second largest in any game in which Steph, Clay, and Draymond all played. They'll go home, the Warriors, and try and win it tomorrow night. We'll have Game 6 here on ESPN. All right, coming up, did you hear what the Nets said about Kyrie? They have dialed it up a notch on their own superstar. Jalen Rose will be here with his reaction in this hour. He'll also talk about this. The genie is out of the bottle, the owner of the Lakers, breaking her silence on the mess in L.A. What does it all mean for LeBron? Jalen will weigh in on that, and we will continue to enjoy these. The NBA unveiling an ensemble of new trophies and awards on our show today. This is the brand new Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP Award. We're back in just a moment. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back, and if it's Get Up, you know we will never not sneak a little football into the conversation. And today we have a big one. The NFL, with the schedule release coming tonight, released this news today. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs versus Tom Brady and the Bucks, week 4 on Sunday Night Football. That's, of course, a rematch from the Super Bowl of 2 years ago. And I've got some fun to have here with RG3, Ninko, and Diana Russini. Good morning, guys, as always. Okay, so the question is simple. Bucks Chiefs, we saw it in the biggest game of the year 2 years ago. We'll see it week 4 this year. Diana, I'm telling you right now, one of those two teams, and not both, are going to wind up in the Super Bowl this year. Which one are you telling me it is?
I'm going with Tom Brady. I've learned my lesson to not bet against Brady. That's really my simple answer. I think Tom Brady made the decision to retire, changed his mind, and came back. And I don't think Tom Brady was going to come back unless he thought that he had it in him, he had the roster around him, and potentially now has the head coach that can get him to the Super Bowl. So I have belief in what he believes in, and I think that the Tampa Bay Bucks have a better shot of winning the Super Bowl over the Chiefs.
And Ninko, I feel like I don't even have to bother asking you, but I will anyway. Brady or Mahomes, who you got?
I mean, come on. I got to go with Brady. I mean, the guy's almost 50, right? But, and we already know this is his last year because we already know he's set up for after the season. So I'm going with Tom. He's going to have to ride off into the sunset or else there'll be a lot of people outside of that building that would be upset if he didn't report to his next job that he has in line.
So, wait, I've had everyone telling me that he doesn't have to go out after one more year. Fox says they'll wait for him as long as they want. Are you telling me, because you've been right on this thing all along, you believe this is Tom's last year?
Yeah, I mean, come on. The amount of money that's waiting for him after this season, he better retire after this year. So I'm assuming that, hey, ask anybody. People do a lot for half of the amount that he's about to get. So I definitely wouldn't be playing football anymore if I was going to make more on the other end, on the backside of it. So I think that he's probably going to give it his last best shot, and hopefully they take it far deep into the playoffs, get back to where he wants to go. That's obviously a Super Bowl, but come on now. I mean, to play 2 or 3 more years and have that contract waiting for him afterwards, I don't know if that's going to happen.
It's a nice problem to have. All right, RG3, give me an unbiased opinion here. Chiefs, Bucks, who you got?
Listen, Greeny, I'm never going to bet against Tom Brady when it comes to a Super Bowl, but I will in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to be the team to beat early in the season. I think they're going to prove that not that they didn't need Tyreek Hill, but that the additions of Juju Smith-Schuster, Marcus Valdez-Scantling, and Sky Moore is going to actually add some elements to their offense that they may have been missing, with the focus primarily being on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So I think the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, he's like that Hoodie Kermit meme. team. He doesn't care who he's going against. He's going out there every single time trying to dominate. And I think they will. I think they'll have a dominant game against the Bucks in that matchup. But I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, no matter how much money he's got waiting for him on the other side.
That is excellent meme usage on your part. All right, again, so tonight's the night, the schedule release. Diana, we'll start with you. Give me what you are most looking forward to as they will release the NFL schedule tonight.
You know, Mike, I'm really into revenge tours. I love watching teams go from playing with one organization and then joining another team and then having to face their former teams, right? So you have Deshaun Watson facing the Texans. Let's see what happens with the suspension situation. You have A.J. Brown, who's now in Philadelphia, will be facing the Tennessee Titans. I'm curious to see how that's going to play out, if there's going to be bad blood there, not knowing how that turned out in the end. So that's what I look forward to the most, just seeing the change and how really the emotions are handled when that game gets here.
Nico, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
I want to see which teams are going to play in division games, their first game, week one. Mm. So when you come out of training camp, I remember looking at the schedule and they would always have us playing in Miami week one. And I'd say, oh man, it's going to be hot. So those games, after you play that game, it has a big impact on the end of your season, the division standings, your playoffs, just because those division games are so much more meaningful. So I can't wait to see who has to play that week one division game.
It's a good point. RG3, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, Granny, I'm looking forward to how many times Lamar Jackson is going to be in primetime TV games on his revenge tour against the league. This guy is the single most dynamic offensive weapon in this dimension and the next, and he's going to go out there and show everybody exactly why. The Ravens are coming back healthy. They got Gus the Bus coming back. J.K. Dobbins, Ronnie Stanley is going to be healthy, and Lamar Jackson is going to show everybody why they should not doubt him, and he should be in the conversation as a top five quarterback.
Awesome, guys. Thank you, as always, for getting up here. And obviously, we'll get back to all the football conversation as we continue. And if you are looking for the schedule, it will be covered tonight. Our schedule release show, 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. You see there that NFL Network also has coverage. Laura will be hosting with Teddy Bruschi and Damian Woody and Shefty and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be by. 2-hour special. That's tonight on ESPN2. All right, let me take you to last night. All of this and the chase for the Cup, the Rangers playing to keep their season alive against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 5. Halfway through the second, Penguins are up 2-0, so the season very much on the line. But look at the hit that Sidney Crosby takes from Jacob Trouba as he's looking at the shot on goal. He gets hit up high. He would go to the bench, and he would not return. A huge loss for Pittsburgh, and it would count. 3 minutes left in the second. Penguins up 2-1. Keep your eye here on Alexis Lafreniere, wide open in front of the net. Kaapo Kakko gets it to him. Lafreniere with the goal. He's got it, and now we're all even. Early in the third, still tied at 3. Rangers on the power play, and here's Filip Hedl in the right faceoff circle, and the wrister, his first goal of the playoffs, gives the Rangers the lead, and they stay alive. They win it by a score of 5-3. And it goes without saying, any time missed by Sidney Crosby is a major concern for Pittsburgh. It leads the team in points, and the Penguins have generated 30 more scoring chances than the Rangers when he's on the ice. We'll see when he's able to return. All right, as we continue, it was a holiday party in Boston. What happened to the Celtics in the fourth quarter? Jalen will be here breaking it all down for us, and we've got Kyrie Irving. He has said he wants to stay in Brooklyn. Do the Nets actually want him to? You need to hear what their general manager had to say, and you will as we continue to feast our eyes on the hardware from the NBA this morning. What you're looking at here is the new, brand new, just updated Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award trophy. Someone will win that next month. We're back in a moment on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and what a delight this is. Coming off an incredible night in the NBA playoffs and looking ahead to all the Game Sixes. We've got four of them over the next two nights for you here on ESPN. Amari Stoudemire is in our studio, and the great Jalen Rose is back with us here. Jalen, I will say this. You and I have been in the studio many times. This is the first time you could get posted up.
I don't have a chance. He'll turn me around and dunk on me. It ain't no big deal.
Take you down in the post. All right, let's show everybody who you're just joining us what happened last night in Boston. Jalen, an unbelievable finish. The Celtics led by as many as 14 in the fourth quarter, but now we're in the final 2 minutes, and the Bucks just had everything go their way.
But also, things going their way was a residue of hustle.
Yep.
That was a hustle play by Wes Matthews to got that offensive board. And look at that, the strip. Now look at Giannis, the versatility in transition. Kicks it out to Bobby Portis. Takes his time, really patient. Now you work it to Drew Holiday for the three.
Holiday had 24 points in this one after struggling so the other night. Again, the blood dripping off the eye of Giannis. Here's where this game is decided. They're down one. He misses the free throw, but Bobby Portis, right place.
And again, don't underestimate Drew Holiday's role in that, going after the offensive rebound, knocking Marcus Smart over, creating the space for Bobby Portis to get the board. And then look at the great defensive play right there. The block, the tiptoes on the baseline, and the save. That's the equivalent of Michael Jordan tiptoeing around Oakley and dunking over Patrick Ewing, but that's defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But that's defensively.
It's one of two huge defensive plays he makes at the end. Here's the other. Celtics down three. Last possession. Jason Tatum is wide open up there, but it is Holiday who makes the steal.
Decisions. People are going to talk about Marcus Smart losing the ball, and rightfully so. He's not necessarily a traditional push-pace point guard in that situation. But if you Al Horford, you turn the other way and you throw it to Jason Tatum.
Let's hear from Smart, and then we have so much to say. This was Marcus Smart after the game.
We don't have time to worry about how we lost. We ain't got time to worry about, we lost and right now and it hurts. Got time for that. So it hurts. It definitely hurts, but we ain't got time to feel it. We got to go on to the next one. And really, it's simple. If you're not ready to come play next game, then don't step on that court.
Start with this. That guy could be the leader of my team anytime. That is exactly the right thing to say after you have the bad struggles at the end. But I want to ask you something that I was watching that play. That second to last play, the blocked shot that Drew Holiday comes over and makes, that's pure freelancing on his part, right? He lets go of Jaylen Brown on that play.
Absolutely. He's a help defender. And the thing about Drew Holiday all season, if you look at the defensive metrics between Drew Holiday and Marcus Smart, they're exactly the same.
Mm.
The difference is Marcus Smart played on a team that was ascending since January 1st and became the best defensive team, and he won Defensive Player of the Year. But he's a reigning champion doing this, and that's terrific defense.
Amari, let's talk about the point that Jalen is making here, that they didn't get lucky. They came from 14 points behind, but they didn't get lucky. They made championship caliber plays. What did you see?
Absolutely. This team is a championship pedigree team. They've been there, done that. They have the experience, so they know what it takes to be patient in the fourth quarter. And you saw Drew with the great defensive play. These are things they do in practice. You know, this is nothing new for him. It's repetition, and it becomes natural in the games.
And, you know, Jalen, as we sit and do NBA Countdown all of these nights, you love to dig Stephen A. every time you say Giannis is the best player in the world, because Stephen A. was always saying it was Kevin Durant. And last night, the blood dripping down his eye, you couldn't have a bigger night.
And then also the resilience. They were down, what, 14 or 16 in the fourth?
14.
They were plus nine the last 2 minutes of the game, and he's not a three-point shooter. And he knocked down that three. And like you said, he went to the line. And when I saw the blood, I was thinking back to last year. People were counting when Giannis was at the free throw line mm-hmm. because his confidence was so low. It was huge that he made the first one. I know everybody wanted him to make both, but it was huge that he made the first one. And then missing the second, the hustle plays by Drew Holiday were outstanding. I can't wait to show you a couple of those.
All right, we'll go through some of those as we go. I want to then turn to the other side. Amari, because I really loved what Marcus Smart said after. We were all somewhat critical yesterday of the comments from some of the Sixers, from Doc Rivers and James Harden yesterday after their poor performance of the night before. Marcus Smart, to me, is saying all the right things. But if you're the Celtics, you let game three get away. You let last night get away. What has to be different for them to force a game seven as they go on the road tomorrow?
Well, I think you keep your same composure, right? Don't get too, you know, when you win, you don't get too high. When you lose, you don't get too low. You kind of keep your same composure. And I think they know they have a chance to win this series. They were up 14 in the fourth quarter, and they had a chance to win the game. It's just down the stretch. They didn't have enough to pull it out. But I do think they can keep their – if they can keep their composure going into game six, they'll be okay.
What do you think? Greeny, let me tell you something. I believe I learned this in therapy. Like, when I woke up this morning, to not teach myself to say, I gotta go to work, but I get to go to work.
Right.
They didn't let that get away from them. It got snatched. It got took. That's way different. The Boston Celtics were in cruise control to actually win that game. And I know Jason Tatum wasn't getting shot attempts late, and I know they made a couple of bad decisions late. But Drew Holiday in particular, when you watch that point guard battle, it's the opposite of watching a Steph and a Ja Morant. Like, Ja's high-flying, 35-point dynamic, and same with Steph Curry, unlimited range. But those two guys, it's a rock fight.
One more quick thing, because you just touched on it. And in our 6 o'clock call this morning, everyone is complaining that when this game is being decided, Jason Tatum doesn't have the ball in his hands. In the last few possessions, he doesn't have the ball in his hands. Is that a legitimate criticism?
That's a legitimate criticism, but here's the thing. The reason why he didn't have the ball in his hands because they did a good job of funneling away from him. And then the other thing is Drew Holiday, if you're guarding Marcus Smart the way he is, he's taking you out of your offense. That's the other thing that's happening.
Okay, so let's leave that game there. Again, we have all the game sixes. Mm-hmm. So we have two of them coming tonight and two of them coming tomorrow night. We'll have plenty of time to dive into those. There's another huge story from yesterday, and that was the comments from Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks. He had fascinating things to say about the future of the team, the type of players they're looking for in the context of Kyrie Irving, obviously, and all the ups and downs of this past season with him. Listen to what Sean Marks had to say.
There's an objective and there's a goal at stake here. And in order to do that, we're going to need availability from everybody. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Look, availability, be part of something bigger than themselves. I mean, these are pretty significant words, Jalen. And one wonders just how much tooth there is behind them, because at the end of the day, we had a good debate here earlier about, look, if KD wants him back, then he's going to be back, and that's what, how do you see that situation right
now? It's almost like a tug of war, right? Me and you pulling. There's two ways for me to win. It's for me to have enough people to pull you in my direction or for me to let it go.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I just saw happen, because he gave KD, Kyrie, and the organization, gave them autonomy to do it their way this year. So now they're just saying, now, since James Harden is gone, since Kyrie missed part of the season, since we got swept out of the playoffs, we're taking some of that autonomy back. And we're going to make sure we do that publicly so everybody knows we're on the same page.
To be clear, for those who don't know, Amari, you were there all season long. You were part of the coaching staff. Is it my understanding? Are you still part of the Nets, I guess is the question I'm asking you. I don't know if that's public knowledge or not. What is your role now there going forward?
So going forward, I'm not with the Nets anymore. I decided not to go back with the Nets for next season. But I do still follow them very closely.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to get that out there so everyone understands where we're coming from. That said, how do you see this thing going forward? Because you understand the dynamics, and I would never ask you to talk out of school about things that you witnessed, but for whatever can be public, the dynamics there of KD and Kyrie, who seem to be a package deal, and obviously there were the ups and the downs of that, and the organization, to Jalen's point, trying to take back a little bit of the control here. How do you see it?
I think Sean Marks doing a great job by trying to bring back the power in his hands and making sure that he's in control of the situation. But I do think with Kevin and Kai, need to have a real sit-down. Because Kyrie, since he signed with the Nets, he missed more games than he played. And so I think you have to have the conversation. Two of your star players need to sit down in the room and say, hey, Kyrie, what's your goals, bro? You want to be the best player in the game? You want to accomplish more in this league? You want to, you know, what are your goals moving forward? And if they both can understand that, hey, we want to make this thing special here, we want to win a championship, and he's committed to playing in those games, and then I think you bring him back.
You understand the dynamics of this well, because you were a superstar player and you played alongside from Steve Nash, all those, you know, that kind of together dynamic and whatever the case was. Does that work with the two of them? I guess what I'm asking is, if they can get that thing together, do you think they have championship stuff there in Brooklyn?
I think so. I truly think so. If Kyrie comes back and plays the way he played when he did play this season, and have a full season with training camp and a full year under his belt, they have a chance to build the chemistry properly to win, to contend for a championship.
So, Jalen, I'm going to ask you the impossible question. You're Joe Tsai, which would be a nice person to be because he's a billionaire, but you own the team. What do you need to hear from Kyrie Irving that's going to make you comfortable saying, okay, I now fully trust that you are as bought in as you need to be, and I'm going to sign you for 4 years and 200 million, whatever it is that it's going to come to.
That if I'm healthy, I'm going to be available. That's really all you have to say, and that's really all you have to show. And like I always say, sometimes I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud.
That's what I mean. Do you trust it? Do you believe it? He can say it, and then the world happens.
Well, but then if he doesn't abide by that, now all of a sudden you as the owner, you go to KD, and you say what James Harden said to KD when Kyrie didn't get vaccinated. Oh, I came here from Houston. Your man didn't get vaccinated, so now I don't want to be here anymore. So now the owner will do the same thing to KD. I told him that I needed him to be available. Now he's not available. What's up with your guy? That's how it goes. And then now it goes from being, okay, we can't move him, to he told me he was going to be available, and he's not available. Now, KD, you understand we must be willing now to move him.
How's that go?
Absolutely. And I think what needs to happen, too, also in negotiating with Kyrie going forward, you have to also add these type of conversations inside the contract. Okay, you can say that you're available and ready to play for next season, but are you actually going to do that? Are you going to now renege on that and not play? So if that's the case and you have this understanding, well, he may say he's available and wants to play, but he doesn't, now what do we do? So now you have to negotiate that within the contract and the writings and try to figure out a way to have the writing set up in the contract where if he doesn't play, these things must happen.
Those sorts of provisions are rare in sports. Stephen A. has been saying that all along. I mean, does that feel like a realistic possibility?
Oh, no, if you're the Players Association, you ain't going for that.
That's what I mean. How's that going to go?
Not going to be
able
to do it.
It's tough, man. It's a tough deal. It's a tough deal to do. But because of the chemistry, I mean, because of the situation with Kyrie not playing in these games all this time and missing so many games, you have to figure out a way to try to make this work.
And the residual is it's just more pressure on everybody else. It's more pressure on KD to stay healthy. If he misses games, then they fall in the standings. If he misses, Kyrie misses games, they're lower 5-8 seed in the playoffs. Now it just makes it less room for error. When they both came back, they played the most minutes since March 20th. They were first and second in the league in minutes. You know what I'm saying? You just end up taxing your team later in the season.
And they wind up getting swept in the playoffs. I very much appreciate your candor on that, having been there all last year and your willingness to dive into it. In the meantime, we'll dive into the Sixers, who will be playing for their season tonight. We'll talk about them next. James Harden, after the nightmare in Miami, what needs to change for Philly to keep it going? And then the genie is out of the bottle. The owner of the Lakers breaking her silence on the mess in L.A. What does it all mean for LeBron, Jalen, and Amari have their take next? You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and tonight we will have the 76ers and their star James Harden trying to keep their season alive against the Miami Heat in Game 6, one of two Game 6s we have coming your way on ESPN tonight. Harden had the big performance in Game 4, got everyone kind of excited, then the complete no-show by not only Harden, but essentially the entire team in Game 5. Amari Stoudemire and Jalen here, of course. So Jalen, how do we explain that? Like the Game 4 now feels like the anomaly. The rest of it sort of feels like Harden. What do they do tonight to keep their season alive? Yeah,
obviously, it's do or die, and this has to be the Joel Embiid MVP dominant game. We can look at James Harden. We could talk about Tobias Harris, the emergence of Maxey. But this has to be about Joel Embiid. He has to be the unstoppable force. But I can't lie. I'm really disappointed with how they lost against Miami. It's one thing to lose the game. It's another thing to lose by 35. And for James Harden, in the previous game, I saw some emotion. I saw some enthusiasm. I saw some aggression. And I thought that would be something that he and the team could build on. It went the total opposite way. And it gave me the thought that maybe Miami could close this thing out if Philly doesn't come to play. And they're going to need James Harden's playmaking, yes, but they really need his scoring.
So that actually brings to mind, I think, the big question here, Amari, because that's supposed to be what James Harden does. I fully agree with you. It's on Embiid to do it. But it, the way this thing is drawn up, it's not supposed to be, right? It is supposed to be Harden who is able to put up the big night. Where's his 46-point performance that we have seen? Is he still capable of that?
I don't think he is this season. He's capable of being that type of player.
Why?
Because I think, you know, not being in top shape, not taking your body serious and not really being able to focus in on that in the offseason and getting yourself prepared through training camp and through the regular season to get to this point, it takes a lot of determination for that to happen. And I don't think that happened for him this past offseason and throughout this season. I agree with Jalen here. I think Joel Embiid got it. You know, this is MVP game. He has to definitely bring it on both ends. We're asking a lot of Embiid. He's playing through injuries. You know, he's carrying the team. The role players also got to step up as well.
I mean, I feel kind of bad for Embiid. Like, I get it. To whom much is given, much is expected, whatever the expression is. And he's that kind of gifted. But he's playing with a torn ligament in his thumb. He's got a fractured orbital socket. And we're basically saying, go ahead, Joel, carry them, even though you have an all 75 player on your team.
We're not going to minimize what he's playing through. Like, I admire that he's willing to play through the things that he's playing through. But as Stat knows, standing tall and talented, everybody, he's going to be with us all day. As he knows, once you put your uniform on, it's no excuses. And it's the playoffs, and he's their best player. Now, I know he's thinking, I wish I could rely on James Harden to put up one of those games, like you said, but he can't wait and take that chance. He got to go out and be the aggressor. He got to be the dominant.
And who
player.
Else? Could be one other person to watch. Is it Maxie? Is it Danny Green?
Definitely
Maxie. Who's knocking down shots?
Definitely Maxie. But here's another question. Maxie has to be that person. But here's the bigger question that we're going to ask this offseason. If you're the Philadelphia 76ers, do you give James Harden a max deal this offseason? And I'll kick off Amari starting off being here today by asking my brother, what would you do?
Yes.
Would you give James Harden a max deal this offseason?
I mean, I can't commit to that. If I'm the owner of the Sixers, I cannot commit to giving him a max deal. I just don't see the dedication that I would need to see from my top 75 player. You know, you have to be able to have a certain level of determination and focus on being the best player you can possibly be and also be there for your teammates when they need you the most. In games like this, like, you know, game six, they're going to need him to play at a high level. And if he's not capable of doing that, and as a max player, I'm not going to be willing to now give you a max contract if you're not showing me that you can handle the situation.
I'm officially killing whatever we were doing next. I'm staying here.
Because the B side of that is you bring AD to L.A. to elongate LeBron's career, but he's injured more than LeBron. The inference now is Embiid is not going to play 82 games. So he's going to be playing around 60 to 65 games. So now you need that other max player to definitely be showing up during the regular season, or they're going to be low in the standings. Maxie's going to continue to ascend, but they're still going to need that salary that Harden commands to be a high-level performer.
Look, we had a fascinating conversation about Kyrie Irving in a different context, but the same thing. Can you trust him to be the guy? This one is different. Is he the guy anymore? If you're sitting here telling me Embiid has to have a huge night and Maxie has to be his number two, then how can you give a max contract to a guy that you're hoping can be your third best player?
See, as players, we're speaking two different languages I want everybody to pick up.
Tell me.
We're saying Kyrie can really ball, and we're going to deal with whatever we got to deal with that comes with him, and even if we got to put it in the contract.
Right.
With James Harden, we're saying he's not in the best shape. He might not be that guy I want to invest in for the big time.
So answer
contract.
Your own question. Are you giving it to him?
No, I'm not. Because to me, you're doubling down on a bad mistake. Almost like the Lakers when they got Russell Westbrook. It's like they had a good thing going. They wanted to try. They lost their depth. They got older, and boom, they crapped out. I think now if you see that James Harden can't be the guy to carry you in particular with Embiid out of the game, then that's what you need your max player to do.
He can opt into his contract for next year, which is 40-something million dollars. I forget what it is, which would kick that decision down the road 1 year for the Sixers. They'd probably love that. Give it one more year and see what it is. But if he opts out of it, then they're facing a situation where they traded so much to get him, and then they let him walk. That's a very complicated spot to be in.
It is. It is. But you want to take your chance with that, because right now you don't want to put your bet on something that you think may not be there for you. It's like buying a car. You buy a car for a maximum price, but the car is going to break down and not be liable for you. Why am I going to pay the max money for a car if it's going to break down?
Well, Jalen is excited because he made make the analogy.
Because Chris Paul struggled his last three games, but what he's done in Phoenix, he's reinvented himself almost like a classic vehicle. And I said James Harden has moved around. He's more like a used car. And that's exactly the point. It's not that he can't be an all-star level player, a guy to get you 20 and 10 on average. He's a really good playmaker, but they need him to be a top 75 player. I noticed you said that twice. You said top 75 player.
Right.
That's more than just stats. That's leadership. That's accountability. Sure. That's being in shape. That's showing up at the big game. That's doing all of that stuff to get a max deal.
I totally agree.
The thing about Harden that I think was always unimpeachable is he played all those games. He didn't take rest. He didn't take load management days, right? He showed up and he played. Mm-hmm. He didn't always play the biggest games in the biggest moments, but at least he showed up and played for you here. That's always been sort of the argument on his side. So one way or another, who wins tonight? In the moment I have left, Sixers tonight at home, season on the line against the Heat. Who do you like?
I got Miami. I think Miami's going to close them out. I don't think Embiid and those guys have enough to beat these guys. I think Miami's too much of a well-oiled machine.
What do you think?
Jeez. You know what? I'm going to take Philly. I'm going to take Philly because I think Embiid is going to have his best game of the playoffs. That's the reason.
We will find out, and I can tell you there's only one place you'll see it, and that is right here. We have two Game Sixes tonight on ESPN and the app. At 7 Eastern, we have that one, the Heat and the Sixers. Then we have the Suns and the Mavs. Jalen and I and company will be here for Countdown starting 6:30 Eastern tonight to get it started on ESPN. It should be outstanding. Speaking of which, First Take is coming up top of the hour. Can Boston still win their series after the epic collapse? Should the Nets commit long-term to Kyrie? The conversation continues with Molly, Stephen A., Jay Will, and Amari Stoudemire at the top of the hour. And another look at the hardware we have at the Seaport this morning. The NBA unveiling an ensemble of new trophies and awards, among them an updated Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy, the brand new Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP, and the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals.
Let me
MVP.
Get over there. That's close as I'll get to a championship.
All of it. That's
I need to get over there and take some.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This has been an awesome morning, and it's only getting better. Amari and I are be coast-to-coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, and the conversation here continues with First Take right now.